Ephesians 1. Who's glad we're having a good morning? Who's glad they came to church? So sometimes when we don't feel like it, God's going to turn up. When you don't feel like it, turn up anyway. If you have to drag yourself to church, get here. Charlie said it all. Ephesians 1:1-8. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. How are we going, guys? Oh, fantastic. Look at you guys. This letter is from Paul, chosen by God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. It is written to God's holy people in Ephesus, who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May grace and peace be yours, sent to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. How we praise God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we belong to Christ. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to him, to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the wonderful kindness he has poured out on us because we belong to his dearly loved Son. He is so rich in kindness that he purchased our freedom through the blood of his Son, and our sins are forgiven. He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. We are setting a spiritual direction for our lives. We are learning this year to become Christ-centered. Turn to your neighbour and say, it's all about Christ. We are making choices in him to be transformed from the inside out. Who knows that we can look good on the outside, but it's inside that's important. And so Ephesians is a book that tells you how to make the most of what God has already given you. God's given you things. You're unique. He's made you the way you are. You have purpose, you have meaning, and it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to tell you the title of my message this morning. And that is having a blessed and meaningful life. Having a blessed and meaningful life. Practical skills training is beneficial for a variety of areas in our life. It's always good to upskill ourselves. Always good to have training. Always good to learn from others. We should always have that in our life. However, it is also tragic when we see people with the greatest skills fall or fail because of weariness that overtakes them, because of an insecurity that eats away at them, or because of some sin that overwhelms them. Skills are good, but we need something more. And Paul is in prison. He's an amazing man of God. He's in prison. And he has written this letter to the Ephesian church that he started 7 years previously in Ephesus. Just think about that for a moment. He's in prison and he's thinking about God's people. And chapter 1 of Ephesians is so rich in how we are to have our best life with Jesus. It describes God's plan and our place in it. We read in verse 1 and 2 that this letter is from Paul, chosen by God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. It is written to God's holy people. Turn to your neighbour and say, you're a holy person. You're faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. See what he's doing? He's saying, I love you guys. I love you because you're faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we be faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Not just in head knowledge, but actually following. May grace and peace be yours. This is the way he starts all of his letters. Sent to you from God our Father and the Jesus Christ our Lord. See, the something more is Jesus Christ. The only thing that we require in our life is Jesus Christ, and we can get through anything. I said the something more in life that is missing from our life, the missing link, if you like, is Jesus Christ. The only thing that we require in our life is Jesus Christ. So I have a number of non-church friends. Some of them I see quite regularly at the gym. And there are certain things that they avoid to talk to me about. I hear them overstepping the mark sometimes because they're with one of their other mates and they all know who I am. And so when they're talking, they kind of go, oh, we better change the subject now. Happened the other day. And it was I just need to be a little bit careful, I guess, because, you know. Anyway, I don't know who's going to be listening later. And so I happen to overhear something. Let's just put it that way. And one of these friends, I went up to him and I said, so you went to that place with someone. And he looked at me kind of, you found out. And he said, yeah, I did. I went with a friend. And I said, that's fantastic. I'm so glad that you've got a friend in your life, because it's, you know, rough time with relationships. You know what I desire for all of my friends that don't know Jesus yet is that they have great relationships and a great life. And I know something, because when you get to our age, you've been around a little bit. And I know that the thing that is going to make the difference is because the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and relationships have meaning beyond measure, because the values and the way that we react with one another is based on our relationship with out of love for our Lord. The something more is Jesus. Our meaningful life is in Christ. It's my first point today. I don't know if we'll even get to the second point. We'll see how we go. Paul found the deeper meaning to his life when God arrested him. Many years ago, Andrew and I were out to supper with some friends. After church, we were having crumpets. For some reason, I remember we were having crumpets. We really didn't have a very good life back then, did we? Anyway, it was what we could afford, and we were with these other friends that were, you know, like us, just making it. And so when my friend went out to the rubbish bin and came back in, because he's sort of a little bit more timid than I am. This is many years ago. I was quite young. And he says, Nigel, I think there's someone broken in next door. I said, you ripper, let's go get him. I was a bit silly back then too. So I bolted out the front door, ran to the neighbour's house, peered through one of the windows. And there's the offender looking at me. He bolted, ran through the glass that he'd already broken. I ran around the front. We collided on the front lawn. Before I know it, all the friends that were over, because we had nothing better to do on Sunday night, they all came and just piled onto him. He had no hope. He was not happy. He made it quite clear, this offender, that he was not happy. He tried everything, and we just said, well, you're not getting up. And he wanted to get up. But you know, the thing that happened was that someone in their wisdom, thank goodness, had called the police. The paddy wagon was there within minutes. I was grateful for that. This policeman's smile was amazing. I've never seen anything like it. He goes, do you know how often this happens that we actually catch them in the act? He threw that offender in the back of the paddy wagon. He's smiling as they drive the car, poof, poof, as he's rolling around in the back of the paddy wagon as they take off around every corner. Paul was like the policeman. When one of his soldiers brought him a Christian, he smiled from ear to ear and couldn't wait to deal out his own special punishment. And Paul confesses in Acts 22 that he voiced his hatred for all Christians. He wished them all dead by any means possible. And if he couldn't punish them by death, he did his utmost to make them as angry as possible in the hope that they would blaspheme and so renounce their Lord. If that didn't work, if that's not enough, he sent them away to foreign destinations, far away from family and friends, in the hope that they would stop the evangelizing and they'd be no more. As much as Paul tried, and by whatever means he tried, he was unable to destroy the spirit that abides in every believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because wherever he sent them, they just kept on sharing the good news. There were angels and Ed and Roses popping up everywhere. Wherever, as far away as they were persecuted, there was new churches sprouting up. There were secret home groups happening. You see, you cannot extinguish the most meaningful thing in your life. His name is Jesus. And so when Paul says he was chosen by God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, he wasn't saying that lightly. He had been smashed to the ground. He had been left for 3 days. In fact, the truth be known, he'd been knocked around in the back of the paddy wagon by God's angels. He'd been given time to reassess his life. Paul was a monster of a man. But even monster men came under the submission of the living God sooner or later. We are all offenders of God until the day we ourselves are arrested by him. And that day we allow the Lord Jesus to flood our hearts and minds. That day that we decide, we make the choice to fulfill his purposes above our own desires. That day is the day we discover the deep and meaningful life that is in Christ. That day we get alongside other believers in him and profess his lordship over our lives. No matter the sacrifices we may need to make for him, no matter the challenges we will face in him, no matter our own physical condition, Jesus Christ is still preached. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And our meaningful life is in Christ. Paul says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. This is an astonishing claim. He has blessed us, past tense. And he has given us every spiritual blessing. He has given you every benefit your heart and your soul long for. There is meaning in Jesus. And so this year we're setting a spiritual direction for us as a church, here and at Wellard, same. How do we attain this spiritual direction? How do we receive spiritual blessing into our lives? In Christ. In Christ. Just in case you haven't got it yet, this letter is from Paul, and in verse 1, an apostle of Christ Jesus. He goes on in the second part of the verse, followers of Christ Jesus. May peace and grace be yours in Christ Jesus. Verse 3, that the Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us with every spiritual blessing because we belong to Christ. How many times is that already? We've only got to verse 3. Verse 4, Christ be holy and without fault in his eyes. Verse 5, through Jesus Christ, it says, that's how we get the plan for our life. And that gives him great pleasure. You know, you give God great pleasure.
Yeah.
And so we praise God. He keeps on going because of the dearly loved Son in verse 6. That's Christ. And he is so rich in kindness that he purchased our freedom by the blood of his Son. That's Christ. And he showered his kindness on us. And that's Christ. Jesus said to Mary before his ascension to heaven, I am ascending to my Father, this is PowerPoint 3, to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. In process theology, God is present in human experience. God is accessible, he is close at hand. God dwells within the universe, among us, not in some remote atemporal realm above and beyond the world. We encounter God within our experience. And so, access to the Father is in him. Access to the Word of God is in him. Access to the power of God is in him. Let's be sure of who the in him is. Who's the in him?
Christ.
Access to your prayer life is through Christ. It's in him. There is no other means. There is no other way to a meaningful and purposeful life but through Christ. Jesus is the only point of access. He was in creation. He is in redemption. He is in all things, and he has given him to be the head of all things to his church. Not just mere words, it's not just knowledge. We attain from being in him. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm so glad to be a part of the church. You see, it's the actions that we perform through our life. Because God blesses his children through him. So when Jesus says to Mary, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God, he was actually saying every possible spiritual blessing for time and eternity has come to those who are in him. And Paul, who used to be Saul, was arrested by him. And Paul was convinced God had a plan for his life. Are you? Are you here today convinced that God has a plan for your life? I said, are you convinced that God has a plan for your life?
Yes.
You see, the blessing, my second point, is that God has adopted you into his family. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ, and this gave him great pleasure. We are incredibly blessed because we are legally made one with him. Every spiritual blessing is made available to you because you have been adopted. We are all part of God's creation. We are all heirs of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm part of God's family. Say it with me. I am part of God's family. Does that make you feel like bigger? See, you cannot be in isolation as a Christian. You're alive in the things of God with others. God doesn't force anyone to be in his family, mind you. You have to accept his choice to be adopted into his family. He wants you in his family. You have to accept the choice. And when you are adopted into his family, you see the world in a very different way. Romans 8:15, it says, "So you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Father." Do you know what's so powerful about adoption? Many people in our world have been adopted. I'm sure there's people here that have been adopted. And when they are young, they may struggle learning that they've been adopted. But there comes a moment when they realize the fact that their adoption meant that they were chosen. Someone had specifically chosen them to be a part of their family. Adoption shouts the truth. I am wanted. I am wanted. He is either in your life or he is not. He is either blessing your life or he is not. And what we get through being adopted into his family is every spiritual blessing, and it abounds towards us. I like the way that Eugene Peterson writes this in the Message Bible. And it's in verse 7 and 8 of the first chapter of Ephesians. "Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people. Free of penalties and punishments chalked up by our own misdeeds. And not just barely free, we are abundantly free. Through Christ you have access to the Father. You are his child. The same things that Jesus can do, we can do." Some of you are not sure about that. He paid the price. I haven't been so good, but he still loves me. Who's glad about that? How long does a parent still love their wayward child? No, you just let him go. We love them forever, don't we? You love your wayward child forever. What an amazing God! We're not just barely free, we are abundantly free. And the picture behind forgiveness is being carried away. And the Jewish people had a clear example of this each year. And when a sacrifice was made on the Day of Atonement, there were two goats that were used. One was sacrificed and the blood was sprinkled on the altar. All right, so here's the priest and he's got two goats. He had one and he was sacrificed. The blood was sprinkled on the altar and then he had another goat. And the priest would lay hands on the other goat and transfer all the sins of all the people onto that goat. And then he would give the goat a bit of a kick. And the goat would go out into the wilderness carrying all the sins. You know what? That's where the term scapegoat came from. Jesus has become our scapegoat. He made a way. But we don't get it, do we? I know I don't sometimes. We're egocentric people. So I'm at the gym the other day and my son was with me and I says, I've got this. And there's this, it's loaded up. It's really heavy and I haven't lifted it for a very long time. I'll show my son, I said. And so I went to lift it. You know, and I think I got it about 1 inch and then I collapsed. Jesus is not egocentric. He is focused on you and your future. He is good for you. And sometimes we may feel as Christians we get thrown in the back of God's paddy wagon, that we get thrown around this way and that, but ultimately through those experiences and challenges that we face in this life, we get closer to Jesus. Nothing is better than getting closer to Jesus. If I have the keyboard player, that'd be fantastic. Here's the thing. Have you truly allowed God to arrest you? Is He smiling at you? I'm so glad you've come home. I'm so glad that you're my son or daughter. Yes, I love Jesus, but actually what you are saying is, only if it doesn't encroach in some areas of my life. I'd like to keep Him clear from certain things in my life. Some things are out of bounds to Jesus. He has either arrested you or He hasn't. The freedom is in Him. Or are you still trapped in the paddy wagon of sin and egocentric living? His grace has been lavished upon us. Why don't we bow our heads and close our eyes? You know, His grace is 6-star. I want you to think of an incredible holiday destination that is just beyond amazing. That's what God's grace is like. It's like lavish. It's an experience that nothing else can compare with. He's the one, the only, the access to every spiritual blessing in your life. He paid the price. You are free. But we have a habit, don't we, of allowing stuff to get in our life and then we have to get that stuff back out again. I'm so glad that He loves us. But we still need to have that freedom. And we're going to close our meeting in a moment. But there may be people here today and actually you're saying that you're a Christian, but you're not living like a Christian. You're saying that you love God, but yes, I've compartmentalized Him because He's not allowed into my relationships. He's not allowed into that area because I enjoy that area. And I don't want God to have a part of that. And what Paul is saying and what is so significant about these first few verses in Ephesians is that we need to be arrested by the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you allow Him to arrest you today? Will you allow yourself to be totally set free and live in the freedom of knowing Him? In spirit and in truth. And if there are people here that really would love to have their life turned back right with Him and love Him with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, we're going to finish our meeting. I'd love to pray with you. Please don't leave. Allow the Lord Jesus to overflow you, wash you, cleanse you, that you may live in his freedom and be effective in spreading the gospel. He's good news. People of God said, amen. Why don't we?